July 15th, 2012, at the Old Broadway Synagogue, is the mitzvah of Karban Tamid. And the central question that I really want to evaluate is whether we should relate to this as one mitzvah or two, which we'll see is actually a machlokas rishonim as we move ahead. But to begin with, a little inyan diyoma, we're obviously in the three weeks, and you know, what's the connection between the Korban Tamid and the 3 weeks we know? Right, correct. Batel HaTamid was the second of the five things that are listed in the Mishnah, which we'll get to in just a moment, concerning the mournful events of Shivasar B'Tamuz. But I think that takes you can take a little bit of a new perspective on that if you just follow the first few sources that I put here. Rabbi Lazar says, as the Gemara in Chagiga Davavim Advez, Olas Tamid Hasuya Behar Sinai, the Ola that was done on Har Sinai, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Maaseha Nemru B'Sinai, we were given the instructions how to do the Karban Tamid at Har Sinai, V'hi Atzma Lo Kreva, but the Olas Tamid, the daily offering, which we'll talk more and more about as we go forward, was not actually brought at Sinai. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kreva, Vishuv Lo Pascha, that the first time the Karban Tamid was offered was at Har Sinai, and Vishuv Lo Pascha, and it didn't stop in any kind of systematic way from that point forward. The Chizkuni commenting on
destruction, yes.
Not exactly. A little before that, as we'll see. The Chizkuni commenting on the parsha that we read yesterday. Olas Tamid Asuya Behar Sinai. Me'achar Shekrafte Mosa B'Sinai Kedechsev Vayishlachas Nare B'nei Yisrael Vayalu Olos Eini Rotze Shesibatel Liolam. I don't want that my Karban, the Karban Tamid, should cease at any point in the future. In other words, whose view is the Chizkuni endorsing? Rabbi Kiva. Right. And now I think something really elegant, painfully elegant in the sense that it's talking about mournful things, emerges from the Mishnah and Tamid, Mishnah and Tainis regarding the Korban Tamid. Chamisha Dvarim Yiras Avaseinu B'Shivasar B'Tamuz V'Chamisha B'Tishba. B'Shivasar B'Tamuz Nishtabru Haluchos. Okay. The luchos were smashed. Batel HaTamid, the Korban Tamid, was no longer able to be offered. Remember, the Jewish people were under siege in the city of Yerushalayim from the day of Asara B'Teves. Uh-huh. Okay, Teves is the 10th month, right? So Tammuz is right, the 4th month. So the 6 months, right. You know, if you start with Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, right? Av would be the 5th month. So Shivasar B'Tamuz Nishtab Luchos Batel HaTamid, right? The Jewish people had already been under siege for 6 months at that point, and they were no longer able to bring lambs into the city for the Karban Tamid. Huvka Ha'ir, of course, the city walls were breached. Sarf Apus Tammuz Es HaTorah, Apus Tammuz burned the Sefer Torah. Vehemid, sometimes it says Hu'amad, probably a little bit of a better girsa. Hu'amad Tzalem Beheichal, doesn't necessarily have to be Apus Tammuz then, but that Tzalem was placed in the Heichal. So what do you see between the interrelationship between the first two things on the list? Nishtabru haluchos, batel hatamid. Once you appreciate that the Korban Tamid, at least according to Rabbi Kiva, traces its roots back to Har Sinai, then it's very parallel to Nishtabru haluchos in a certain sense, that Shivasar B'Tamuz becomes one of the main themes of Shivasar B'Tamuz, let's say 40% of it, becomes about mourning a partial undoing of Sinai. Nishtabru haluchos is very clearly, explicitly, an undoing of you know, what happened at Sinai, at least, you know, the first set of luchos, right? We needed to replace them. Salacha shnei luchos avanim karishonim. But we have a chiddush now based on the Gemara and Chagiga, that even the Karban Tamid, which seems like a totally different theme, is actually part and parcel of the same theme of the undoing of Mamad Har Sinai, in a certain sense, because the Karban Tamid traces itself back to Har Sinai, Olas Tamid Ha'asuya B'Har Sinai, which Rabbi Kiva said is, as you would literally read the pasuk, Olas Tamid Ha'asuya B'Har Sinai, not just Ma'aseha Nemru B'Sinai, that's Rabbi Lazar, but Rabbi Kiva, that the actual korban was brought at Har Sinai, that didn't stop in a formal sense until Shivasar B'Tamuz, and that's a very powerful idea. Right, 2 and 5 would be 2 and 5 would be clear. Yes, correct. In terms of the Shvira Sefer Torah, right, 100%, 100%. Right, correct. Now there are all these other right. I didn't mean to. Steve raises a good point. There are many other connections. I should have just given that as a little bit of a preamble or as a caveat.
I don't remember, but there was some instance where the chazir that was going to be offered and dug its claws into the...
Yeah, there is an agadita like that. I have to take a look inside to remember more of the details, but right. Right. Especially that theme also comes up in
the... Was that related? I don't know if there was any connection with the start of the breaching of the walls.
No, I don't remember. It's vaguely familiar, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
But instead of the keves, it's a chazir. Yeah. Yeah. So in any event, there are many, many themes, but I just, you know, for the first time this year, really appreciated a little bit more about the theme of the relationship between the Batel HaTamid and the Shabra Alichos as the unfortunate undoing of part of what it was that we experienced at Har Sinai. So in that sense, anytime we talk about the Korban Tamid, this time of year especially, we should be mindful of the Inyanei Dioma, of the fact that it's certainly something we're thinking about during the 3 weeks. Now let's take a look at the Psukim in Pinchas themselves. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor. These are psukim which are well known to us from the laying on Rosh Chodesh. Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta lehem es korbani lachmi le'ishai reyach nichochi tishmeru lahakriv li b'moado. Okay, so my korban, korbani lachmi, okay, the korban is the dam, the way that the Sifrei interprets it. Lachmi are the limbs which are put on the mizbeach, le'ishai reyach nichochi, right? Nachas ruach lefanai shenasa ritzoni tishmeru. You should be very careful. Lahakriv li b'moado, and it's appointed time. V'yamar talahem, and you should say to the Jewish people, zeha isha asher takrivu ladunai kibasim b'nei shanat mimim shenayim layom ola tamid. Two a day, a korban ola. Es hakeves echad taseh baboker v'yes hakeves hasheni taseh bin harbayim. One is in the morning. The second is in the afternoon. V'asiris ha'ifa solas lemincha, right? With all kevasim, all lamb offerings, there's always a tenth of an eifa of flour, which is offered as the mincha, which comes along with the main korban of the animal. Bilula, b'shemen kasis, revi'is hahin, right? And there is always revi'is hahin, which is balul, which is absorbed in the mincha. Olas tamid, this is the korban tamid ha'asuya behar Sinai. The pasuk that we already read, the machlokes between Rav Lezer and Rav Akiva, had to interpret. L'reach nichoach isha l'Hashem. Okay, so these are the psukim which introduce the concept of korban tamid. So if I were to ask the question that I posed at the very beginning, is it one korban, one mitzvah, or two mitzvos? What would you say, based on the psukim?
A mitzvah, two parts. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so Igor takes a position. It's one mitzvah with two parts, with two different ma'isim. You know, Sviras HaOmer, you could have one mitzvah with 49 different ma'isim, so certainly you could have one mitzvah, mitzvahs tamid, with two distinct components, a morning component and an afternoon component. And Igor, just because you're far away, I'm not letting you off the hook. You can't run.
I'm not running.
You can run, but you can't hide, rather.
I can hide.
Give
also
me two other parallels.
I have a bottle of vodka, I can hide.
Okay, give me two other parallels. From the Mikdash. Where you have a morning component and an afternoon component, but maybe it's still part of one integrated framework. You can Igor can either call a friend volitionally or a friend can call Igor. There is the Ketores, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, and the Minchas Chavit in the special Mincha of the Kohen Gadol. But somebody take Igor's idea one step further. Just based on the psukim themselves, I'll just go back and read some of the psukim. I think we can make a number of diukim, just a number of points about the formulation in the psukim. Tzav es b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta lehem es korbani. Is korbani yachid or rabim?
Yeah, yachid.
Yachid, korban shali. If it was rabim, what would it be?
Korbanai.
Excellent, Binyamin. Very good.
And also it's lechmi and not lechmai.
Right, very good. Tishmeru lahakriv li bi?
Moado.
As opposed to?
Moada.
V'yamar talahem zeh? Ha'isha. Isha is singular. It's not ishim. But then, okay, so these all point in the direction of, you know, one institution. But then all of a sudden, you know, the complexity emerges from the fact that kivasim b'nei shanat himimim, right? So then now there are two parts. Shnayim layom, two a day, ola tamid. Ola is not alone. Two components. So, but if it's really true, again, linguistically, there's a very compelling argument to be made that we're dealing here with a single mitzvah, even though there are two components to that mitzvah. But if Igor is correct, then what question are we going to have instinctively? I mean, what's the obvious logical question we have to ask now? If it's really true that they're one integrated mitzvah, let me use the parallel of Sfiras HaOmer, which we've spoken about on so many different occasions. If you don't take the perspective of the Bali Tosos of the Ri, that you're dealing with 49 different mitzvahs, so to speak, you make a bracha every night. I mean, what's the Bahag's position, the Bahag's definition of Tmimos, we've spoken about so many times? If a person misses a day...
Yeah, it all counts.
Yeah, so then what would be the analogy in the case of the Korban Tamid? Let's say you don't do the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar. Should he be able to bring the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim if Igor is correct?
Probably not.
So what's the halacha in that case? What does the Gemara Menachos say about that?
I think the two halachas here with Chalbalas. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. As long as you bring one Tamid during the whole day, even if you forget the other one, you yotz with the Talmud for the day.
Tachidish.
Look, tefillin, say, brachas.
So you're saying it's two different mitzvahs?
I'm saying, yeah.
Okay, so now we have a machlokas, Igor and Herschel. It's also machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. So, what does the Gemara Menachos say? We'll take a look at the Gemara Menachos, but obviously we're going to want to evaluate very carefully that question. And if it's really true, it's one mitzvah, then you'd expect to find some kind of dependency or even contingency between the Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Now, obviously, you might be open to the idea that, you know, just by virtue of the sequence, that Tamid Shel Shachar, of course, since it comes first, it's never going to depend on Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. But in the opposite direction, you would expect to find some degree of contingency, that if you didn't offer the Tamid Shel Shachar, very good, very good. How many mitzvahs is Kriyas Shema? According to...
Two or three.
The Rambam counted as one?
One.
How many mitzvahs does the Rambam count as tefillin as? Two?
Yeah. So how accurate is he?
It's all very, yeah. That's why we need the shir. It's all very confusing. Let's take a look now at some of the Rishonim. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, take a look at source 5. The Rambam says, HaMitzvah HaLamites, He Shetzivanu LaHakriv B'Mikdash Mikdash Shnei Kvasim B'Chol Yom Ve'elu Nikrayin Tmidin V'Hu Amaro Yisaleha Shnayim LaYom Ola Tamid. Let me read it one more time. He Shetzivanu LaHakriv B'Mikdash Shnei Kvasim B'Chol Yom Two Kvasim every single day Ve'elu Nikrayin Tmidin. This is the Tmidim. V'hu amaro yis'aleha. This is what the Torah said in Pinchas, Perek Chavches, Sefer Bamidbar. Shinayim layom ola tamid. How many mitzvos, according to the Rambam, is tamid?
One.
Good. And how does he prove it? What pasuk does he quote? What's he keying in on? Two a day, but it's ola tamid. Right? It forms almost one chalos of an ola. Ola tamid, not olos tamid, but shnayim layom, two different korbanos. Obviously, you're talking about two different olos, two different korbanos, but there's some measure of integration here. Ola tamid. It's one mitzvah. The Rambam now in Hilchos Tamidim u'Musafin. Mitzvah ase lahakriv shnei kvasim olos. Here the Rambam tells you it really is two different olas, right? It's olos bechol yom veheinam in yikrayim tmidim echad baboker veechad bein harbayim shene'emar shenayim layom ola tamid. So yes, of course you have two different korbanos and you have two different olos because each one is a korbanola. You can't deny that, but at the same time they integrate into one mitzvah saseh for the Rambam. And the Rambam here is consistent when it comes to Ketores and Minchas Chavitin. You'd have two different parts, but it all integrates into one entity. The Ramban. Ushnei Tamidim Uktores Boker Va'erev V'Kriyashma. The Ramban says this about Kriyashma as well. Nimnin Shtayim Shtayim. They should all be counted as two mitzvos. Shehein mitzvos Einan Ma'akvos Zoeso. What does it mean? Einan ma'akvo zoeso. Moreover, zmana shel zo, lo zmana shel zo. What's the second point that the Ramban is making?
The separation.
Is the Rambam going to be able to dispute either of these points? Certainly he can't dispute which aspect. That's indisputable. But what about the other points? Could the Rambam theoretically dispute that? He could theoretically dispute that. So we just have to look at the data. That's an empirical question. Does the Rambam dispute that? But the Ramban's argument is basically the argument that Herschel was offering, which is that, look, if they're not ma'akev each other, let's just assume that that's true for a second. If they're not ma'akev each other, then how can you claim that they're one mitzvah? Conceptually speaking, how could they be one mitzvah if they don't depend on each other? In other words, you didn't bring the Tamid Shel Shachar. You didn't bring it, whatever the excuse is. You have an excuse, you don't have an excuse, it's temporary insanity, whatever your plea is. Come to the Tamid Shel Bein Harbaim, and you can offer it to the Ramban as saying, it can't be then part of the mitzvah of Tamid Shel Shachar. And it can't be that both are part of the same mitzvah. And the same thing he wants to say, he lists two other institutions here, Ketores or Kriyas Shema. Let me ask you a question. If you didn't say Kriyas Shema in the morning, whatever reason, you don't say Kriyas Shema at night, Haytachin? So what does Mishnah say?
The shleimus of the day. The shleimus of the day is two talmuds. But the mitzvah for each one is separate.
That's what the Ramban is saying.
Right.
What the Ramban is arguing is that it's two different mitzvahs. It should be counted as two different mitzvahs. So the Ramban disagrees. So, if it's true, let's put it this way. If it's true that the Rambam will admit to the Ramban that they're not ma'akev each other, right, that you can really bring the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayin absent the Tamid Shel Shachar, then we'll probably agree that the Ramban has the upper hand in the Machlokas. You'd have to give the Ramban the upper hand at that stage. So let's just look at the data. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Lo hikrivu keves baboker, they failed to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, yakrivu bein harbayim. The position of the Chachamim is what? If you didn't bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, are you permitted to bring the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim?
Yes.
Yes, correct. Excellent,
so
Binyamin.
Because you do bring it.
Right, correct. Amar Rabbi Shimon, a Masai. Bizman shehayu anusin o shogigin. Okay, if anusin was out of their control, shogigin, it was negligence. Avalim hayu mizidin. But if it was intentional, if they simply, for no good reason, did not bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, velo ikrivu keves baboker, lo yakrivu bein harbayim. So what might you? How might one at this stage interpret Rabbi Shimon? If one just had the Mishnah or the Sifrei, for that matter, how might one interpret Rabbi Shimon?
If you had kavana to increase it, so you prepare yourself for the carbon, but so you completed your maaseh, you can complete your maaseh with the latest carbon.
Okay, sharpen it a little bit. It's good, but sharpen it a little bit. We just need to. Igor has the right idea.
If some reason you weren't able to do it, you can still do it. But however, if you do it, the Mezidi didn't do it, then forget it.
Right. So that's what he's saying. But what? So what underlies that? Rabbi Shimon might really agree that the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim is contingent on the Tamid Shel Shachar. Mm-hmm. The only time where we allow you to bring the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, if you fail to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, is if what?
You stop preparation.
If it was that, you know, the truth of the matter is you didn't absolutely reject the Tamid Shel Shachar. It was anus, it was shogeg. You didn't bring it in practice, but you didn't fail to bring it. Everybody follow that distinction?
That introduces an aspect of kavana. Sorry.
In a certain sense, what we're really asking is under which circumstances did you not bring the Tamid Shel Shachar? If it was a repudiation of the Tamid Shel Shachar, the way that you would interpret Rabbi Shimon at this stage is, okay, then the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, in the most basic sense, is dependent on the Tamid Shel Shachar. Not on the actual bringing of the Tamid Shel Shachar, but are you... Is that mitzvah still on the table?
Yes.
And that mitzvah is still on the table as long as you didn't actively reject it, b'mezid. Now, who might that work very well for? Which Rishon would that be helpful for?
Rambam.
The Rambam, right? Because the Rambam, who's telling us that it's one mitzvah. Okay. So now let's just have to look at the Gemara, because, you know, never draw any really firm conclusions based on Mishnah. So let's take a look at the Gemara. Gemara says, Lo hikrivu keves baboker, lo yakrivu bein harbayim. If the Mizbeach has been inaugurated, Yakrivu Bein Harbayim. Amar Reb Shimon, a Masai, Bizman Shahayu Anusin Oshokigin, Avalim Hayu Mezidin, Lo Ikrivu Kevis Baboker, La Yakrivu Ben Harbayim. So Minahani Milei, just skipping a little bit, Tanurabanan, Vesa Kevis Hasheni Tase Ben Harbayim, Sheni Ben Harbayim, Vilo Rishon Ben Harbayim. Bamedvarim Amurim Shaloni Schane Chamis Beach, Aval Nishane Chamis Beach, Afilu Rishon Ben Harbayim. Amar Reb Shimon Masai, Bizman Shahayu Anusin Oshokigin. Avalim hayu mezidin, lo ikrivu keves baboker, lo yakrivu bein harbaim, lo iktiru k'tores baboker, yaktiru bein harbaim. V'chi kohanim chatu, asks the Gemara in Rabbi Shimon, mizbeach batel? Rabbi Shimon, I don't understand. So if the kohanim didn't bring the tamid shel shachar b'mezid, the mizbeach should be batel. You shouldn't bring the tamid shel bein harbaim. Amarava hachikam, Amarava says, no, that's not what Rabbi Shimon meant. But Rabbi Shimon meant is as follows: Hachik Amar Lo Yakrivu Hein Abal Acherim Yakrivu. Those Kohanim who were derelict, who failed in their responsibility to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, they of course are not trustworthy. They cannot bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Abal Acherim, but other Kohanim not only can but must offer the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So what does this establish? That even according to Rabbi Shimon, does the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim ever really depend on the Tamid Shel Shachar? No. All Rabbi Shimon was saying is what? That the Kohanim who failed, b'mezid, to offer the Tamid Shel Shachar, they can't be the ones to be entrusted with the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. A personnel issue, a human resources issue, not an interrelationship between the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim and Tamid Shel Shachar issue. So what was this business about Nischanei HaMizbeach? So again, the Gemara just said there's one caveat to this, which is that if a Mizbeach hasn't been inaugurated yet, and let's say you finish constructing a Mizbeach, this is the simplest case, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's obviously too late to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, which Rabbi Yehuda says Adalachos, the Chachamim say Ad Chatzos, which is of course the basis for Zmanei Tefillah, the fourth parak of Brachos. Just 1 second. Let me just finish the point, then we'll come back and take the question. So if you finish building Mizbeach at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody's going to agree that at that point you can't bring the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. You can only be Mechanech the Mizbeach. You can only activate or initiate the Mizbeach using the Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, does that prove that there's an interrelationship, a dependency between the Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim? Let's just think about this. In one sense, you might say so, and say, okay, look, the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim is really always contingent in a certain sense on the Tamid Shel Shachar, because the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim can never activate a Mizbeach if it's a new Mizbeach. Let's say the Mizbeach were destroyed and you had to rebuild it, you know, a cluster bomb hit the Mizbeach or what have you. So it is dependent in the sense on the Tamid Shel Shachar. I mean, you could try to formulate it that way, but the truth of the matter is it sounds much more... It's not that the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim is really contingent on the Tamid Shel Shachar. It's just you can't offer the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim on a disactivated, on an unactivated Mizbeach. It's a din in the Mizbeach. It's not a din in the interrelationship between the two korbanos. And the fact of the matter is that the only thing, the only korban which has the capacity, which has the internal property of being able to activate a Mizbeach is the Tamid Shel Shachar. But it doesn't prove any unique interrelationship between the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim and the Tamid Shel Shachar. So let's just take a look at the Rambam, then we'll take Herschel's question. So see, how does the Rambam learn? Again, the Rambam, who said it's one mitzvah, so we would have expected, certainly in light of the critique of the Ramban, that the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim should be contingent on the Tamid Shel Shachar. And we thought we may have had a Tana for that view when we had Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, but it's not the way Rava interprets in the Gemara. Says the Rambam, Ta'u oshkagu, afilu hezidu, even if it was intentional, vol yikrivu tamid shel shachar, yakrivu tamid shel bein harbayim. So what is the Rambam paskin? Excellent, Binyamin. So what does that establish clearly? Is that they're not ma'akev each other, and if they're not ma'akev each other, who should really be right? The Ramban.
There's a little bit of a Right.
Well, that Rabbi Shimon said that, but the way that Rava interpreted the Gemara is that even Rabbi Shimon will really agree, b'mezid, you can bring the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. What's the only point? That b'mezid, who cannot bring, if they fit those same Kohanim, correct. Okay. If it's a totally new Mizbeach, the Minchas Chinuch has some questions here, you know, how new? What's the Shiur? let's say it was rebuilt with the same stones. The Rambam is, Rechum Fischel Perlo points this out as well. Rechum Fischel Perlo says, you see the Rambam added in the term Mizbeach Chadash. So maybe for the Rambam, if it was just repaired, you could even bring the, you could even bring the Tamid Chil Bein Harbai, which really, really highlights the point that we're making, is that it's not about the interrelationship between the Tamid Chil Bein Harbai and the Tamid Chil Shachar. So if the Mizbeach was pasul all morning and you just fixed it, so you could bring the Tamid Chil Bein Harbayim. The only time you can't is really if it's a total Mizbeach Chadash. That's probably a correct diuk in the Rambam. Aval hayo Mizbeach Chadash, a totally new Mizbeach, she'adayin lo karev alav klum, lo yakrivu alav tchila bein harbayim, she'ein mechanchen Mizbeach ha'ola, ela b'tamid chil shachar. It's a din in the Mizbeach. It's not a din in the relationship between the korbanos. So even the Rambam will agree, will admit, that there's no interrelationship, there's no contingency or dependency between the Tamid Chil Bein Harbayim and Tamid Chil Shachar. So the Ramban has the Rambam on the ropes. He's got him on the ropes. The question is, can the Rambam get back into this fight? Herschel.
Just in clarification.
Yeah.
The Khan, it was all divided, what is it, Mishmeres of each...
there were 24 Mishmeres of Kohanim.
So what if the group, if the Khan didn't bring it in the morning, does it... would it pass all of the Khan from that group, or...
Yeah, so what Rabbi Shimon is contributing here is that it depends if it was Bemezid or Bishogeg.
So all of them, it wouldn't just be...
It would just be for that day, it would be like a timeout.
Yeah, all of those
No. Just the ones that the two or three who were responsible for the carbon.
But there's a group that's on watch, like a group of less.
Yeah,
than
so not only the ones who were.
Only those two that were responsible.
Yeah, yeah, only those who were directly responsible.
And if the inverse, was it permissible to change the topic in the morning or evening, or were they really supposed to be the same group that were involved in bringing both?
No. It's totally permissible. Great question. Totally permissible. The only time it's not, the only time, where is the only time it's not an issue, remember this? Where is the only time you're really not supposed to have the same person do it?
Korban, no. And you have a
few. Which Korban?
No.
Taurus. Why? Oh, why? Because the Taurus was Ma'asher, because...
Oh, okay.
Remember? So yeah. Yeah, there's no, yeah.
The day starts at night.
Well, not in the Beis Hamikdash. The halachic day starts at night.
Well,
either way, it doesn't matter because here we're talking about the afternoon.
If you miss the morning, you can come and say that the day actually starts at night and the night.
No, but I'm saying for two reasons it's incorrect. Number one, the day starts in the morning in the Beis Hamikdash. But number two, the Tamid Chil Bein Harbayim is in the afternoon. It's not at night.
Yeah.
I'm saying for both, but for both reasons, both reasons. So the Rambam needs to get back into this. So who wants to suggest an answer for the Rambam? I mean, the Rambam's going to now... The Ramban had two critiques. Number one, Zmano Shel Zelo is Zmano Shel Zelo. There was no way the Rambam could argue that point. Number two, Eina Ma'akvin Zoaso. And the Rambam did Paskin that way. So he could have disputed that, but he didn't. Because of the Gemara Menachos. So, given the fact that the Rambam doesn't really challenge the facts of the case, right? Facts of the case are uncontested. Right, no contest. So then, what's pshat for the Rambam? Why does the Rambam think that it's one mitzvah? How could that be? I mean, let's go back to our Sfiras HaOmer analogy, right? If it's one mitzvah by definition, I mean that's what the Ri says. Kolayla b'layla mitzvah b'ifnei atzma. Therefore, they're not ma'akev each other. If it's one mitzvah, then they are ma'akev each other. End of story. So how does that work? And you could ask the same question for Kriyat Shema as well, right? Let's say a person didn't say Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis. He shouldn't say Kriyat Shema Shel Arvit. Of course not. It would be absurd. So how can it be counted as one mitzvah? What's the end? I mean, where's the Rambam coming from? So this is just a breakthrough. But the Rambam tells us in the Sefer HaMitzvos in the Shoresh Yud Aleph, the 11 of 14 chapters, that's a preamble to his actual Minyan HaMitzvos, and the Sefer HaMitzvos is just an absolute breakthrough in terms of how we should think about mitzvos. Well, let's just read through this, and here the Rambam gives us a beautiful and compelling idea, and it's the Ramban has him on the ropes. I'm obviously speaking anachronistically here, right? The Rambam lived first, but in the Yeshiva Shalmala, the Ramban has him on the ropes, and watch how the Rambam comes back. Hashorash ha'chadasar she'in ro'i limnos chelkei ha'mitzvah bifrat chelek chelek bifnei atzmo. You don't count mitzvos, each of their subcomponents, each of their component parts separately. She'iyah mekubat meha mitzvah achas. Right, when they really come together to form one mitzvah. Pa'amim yeah tziboy ha'echad shu mitzvah achas yeshlo chalakim rabim kimo mitzvah slulav. It would be absurd to think that the esrog is a mitzvah in its own right. The kapos tamarim mitzvah bifnei atzma, and that lulav is a mitzvah in its own right. Venaf eitz avos mitzvah bifnei atzma, and hadasim are mitzvah in their own right. Ve'arve nachal and aravos mitzvah bifnei atzma. Lefi she'elu kulam heim chelkei hamitzvah ki hu tziva lekabtam v'yachar kibutzam. So what point? The Rambam's just introducing a basic point. Dalet minim is one mitzvah. You don't count lulav as its own mitzvah. You don't count esrog as its own mitzvah. Okay, fine, fair enough. And now the Rambam takes matters just one half step further. V'zekoma she'amru ha'chachamim. She'hadavar ha'ploni va'ploni ma'akvin zeh. Anytime where you have a formulation in a Mishnah, right, like in the context of Dalet Minim, for example, Hinei Mavuar Sheu Mitzvah Achas Kemo Arba Minim Shebelula VeLechem Apanim In Levon Zaka Shetiase Imo Shloshan Mizan Menachos Hasdar Mabzik In Makvin Zeza Inezem Mavuar Sheu Mitzvah Achas. So you always know if Chazal tell us that part X is Ma'akev part Y and vice versa, that they're part of the same mitzvah. So, for example, when it comes to the showbread, it has to be brought with the Levona and the bazikin, right, the frankincense, these different kinds of accoutrements that come with it. So when Chazal tells us that they're ma'akev each other, it means that they're part of one mitzvah. It's not separate mitzvahs. We shouldn't count the bread as one mitzvah and the lavona, the frankincense, as a separate mitzvah. And likewise, when it comes to the more familiar example to us, the dalaminim, you don't count lulav, esrog, hadasim, and aravos as four separate mitzvahs. They're ma'akev each other. Mm-hmm. Right, to fulfill the mitzvah, you need all four. But what about the opposite case? In other words, our case. What did the Mishnah say? Is that the Tamid Shel Shachar is not Ma'akev, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim. So the Ramban took that as evidence that what?
It's two mitzvahs.
That if the Mishnah says they're Ma'akev, it's one mitzvah. Quite simply, if the Mishnah says that they're not Ma'akev, it's multiple mitzvos. Here's where the Rambam diverges. V'amnam mako makoshihu, but where this gets a little complicated is b'dvarim bahem eina ma'akvin zezeh. Dvarim shamru bahem eina ma'akvin zezeh, where Chazal told us one is not ma'akev the other. Ki ha'ola b'machshava, prima facie, you would have thought she'achar she'elu ha'chalakim kol chelek mehem bilti tzarech chaveiro she'a kol chelek mitzvah b'fnei atzma kemo she'amru sha'am t'cheles eina ma'akev is love and loni no'na ma'akev is ha'tcheles. When it comes to tzitzis, the white and the blue aren't ma'akev each other, so if you don't have tcheles, you can still fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of tzitzis. Hinei haye efshar lanu she'nemar, or she'nomar rather, we would have said she'lavanu tcheles, because we know they're not ma'akev each other, you would have thought that they are. Yimnu. Bishtei mitzvos. Excellent, Igor. Perfect. Lule mashem matanu lehem lashen mevorim b'chilta. Okay, we have an explicit chazal. V'amar osham, yachol shen shtei mitzvos. You would have thought tcheles and lavan are two mitzvos. Mitzvos tcheles, mitzvos lavan. Tam lomar v'aya lachem litzitzis. Mitzvah achasi ve'ena shtei mitzvos. Hinei kvar hisbar lecha she'afilu hachalakim she'einan ma'akvin zezeh. We learn that even those parts which are not ma'akev each other, pa'amim, not always, but sometimes, intermittently, yiyah mitzvah achas. She'yiyah ha'inyan echad. What makes all the difference, says the Rambam, not whether Chazal tell us they're ma'akev each other, but ki ha'kavana, excellent, Binyamin. Ki ha'kavana b'tzitzis l'ma'an tiskru. Imkein klal hadavar ha'mechayiv l'zikaron mitzvah achas yimana. What's the Rambam saying, in our own words? What's going to determine? What's that?
The intention of the mitzvah.
Good. In other words, the direction, what we call the teleology, the point of the mitzvah, so to speak. It's an incredibly audacious and bold idea that the Rambam is developing. What is it that makes the tcheles and lavan part of one mitzvah? Rambam tells us, ki akavana b'tzitzis l'man tizkru imkain klal adavra mechayev l'zikar mitzvah achas yimoneh. That's what makes us count it as one mitzvah. So the Rambam is taking this well beyond the local confines of tzitzis to all of halacha. This is in the Sharashim. Hinelo nishar lanu im kain. So how are we supposed to determine if the Mishnah says things are ma'akev? You know that they're part of one mitzvah. If the Mishnah says they're not ma'akev each other, so what's going to determine whether it's one mitzvah or two? The conceptual nature of the mitzvah. Hinelo nishar lanu im kain shenabit b'minyan hamitzvos amram ma'akvin o ena ma'akvin. You have to look beyond that. You have to think about it in a deeper sense. Ki im le'inyan levad ha'im hu inyan echad. Oh, in Yanim Rabim, Kemo Shebiyarno Bishar Shachilu Me'ilu Asherashim Shenachni Mishtadlim Levaram. So what must the Rambam perforce believe about Tamid?
Steve. It's a very philosophical, that's a philosophical concepts, and it relates sort of to the very first part of the Shema. In a Kiviyakul God sense, they're really one aspect. Because there's really no difference in time. There's a continuity. In our perception, we see time as a sequence of events. So we separate things temporally, and that has certain functional significance. By the same token, we've seen different aspects of Hashem. The Hashem of Din, the Hashem of Elohim, of Rachmin. And sometimes we perceive one aspect, sometimes another, but we have to assert that they're all part and parcel of the same
thing. Very interesting. Good.
So they don't... In our perception, they are separate entities, and that's recognized in a functional sense, but really in a God-based sense, or as we elevate ourselves to really...
So this conceptual integration, which exists at the heart of the institution of Tamid, for the Rambam, is going to compel him to count it as one mitzvah. Now, I have a slightly different suggestion in terms of what that conceptual...
And that's what it's called Tamid, as opposed to looking at it as a...
Right. Okay, so I think there are probably different ways of formulating this, what the specific substance of the integration is, and Steve has a very wide-ranging suggestion. I'll take it in a slightly different direction, but I totally agree. Right. Once you see this Rambam in Shurash Adolf, you understand exactly what he's after. For Kriyat Shema, for Karban Tamid, for the Ktores, for the Minchas Chavitin, right? When you're dealing with one singular theme, what the Rambam tells us of Inyan Echad, so then that means that you have to count it as one, even though Zmano Shelzel, Lo Zmano Shelzel. He'll admit that the Ramban is correct about that, even though Eina Ma'akvin Azetza. We know the Rambam will admit that. So the Rambam tells us the following. Let's just read a number of halachos and hilchos tmidim and musafin. And I think this will try to really make the argument that what we're dealing with here is one integrated institution. Asur lahakriv korban klal kodim tamid shel shachar, v'lo shochtin korban achar tamid shel ben harbayim, chutz mi korban pesach levado, she'efsher she'akrivu kol Yisrael pischeihem b'shtei sha'os. So what does the Rambam tell us? That fundamentally speaking, what are the Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim share? Excellent. They begin and the end of the day. Let's take it one step further. Kemas et Tamid Shel Shachar, kach maise Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. V'akol kemaise ola shekasavnu b'maise akorbanu. So what's the second really important point here for the Rambam? Is that in terms of what you do, practically, the mechanics, the protocol of the Tamid Shel Shachar, are they any different than Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim?
No.
Not a single difference. Tamid Shel Shachar, the third point, Hayanishchad al Keren Sfonis Ma'aravish al Beis HaMitbachayim al Tabashnia Vishal Ben Arbayim al Keren Sfonis Mizrachis Mimena al Tabashnia Kidei Sheye Keneged HaShamesh Derekabalahein Sheyu Nishchatin Keneged HaShamesh. The only thing which is different is nothing internal about the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, but is the location. Tamid Shel Shachar takes place opposite the sun. Since sun rises in the east, it's in the west. Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim takes place opposite the sun. Since the sun sets in the west, it's in the east. Keneged HaShamesh, we'll discuss that in the context of the Malbim in just a moment. So the point is what are you highlighting here with the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim? They're the same korban, exactly, but just meant to speak to the different times of the day, to the difference between the beginning and the end of the day. Because they very much are the beginning and the end of the day of the Mikdash. What I like to always call, again, this is just my formulation, what I always like to call, in the military sense of the term, you know, Mikdash has so much military imagery, the Shomrim, Paltaren Shamelech Sheyesh Alav Shomrim, Habayim litzvaha avodah, kol yotzei tzava, right? All the military imagery, which is at so much at the heart of the mikdash, what I like to call reveille and taps. The institution of tamid, and not just the korban tamid of the kebes, but the ktores, the minchas chavitin as well, is what gives internal coherence to the mikdash. It's not a surprise then, and the only difference in terms of, you know, pragmatically what you do is keneged hashamish, reflects beginning of the day, the rise of the sun, and the setting of the sun. This is what gives each day in the mikdash its own internal integrity. What makes it, so to speak, an integer, and not just disparate parts, is the tamid. So yes, it is very much one institution. And even though they're not ma'akev each other, right? You can bring the tamid shel bein arba'im, even if you failed, b'meizit, to bring the tamid shel shachar. In the ideal sense, in the conceptual sense, they're absolutely part of the same framework. And for the Rambam, that makes all the difference in the world. As the Rambam told us in Shorash Yud Aleph, that's exactly what allows him to count them as one mitzvah. Truth be told, this notion goes even further.
It's not satisfying. So it's a dreish, my dreish. The Rambam is using he's using the words differently to say the same thing he said before. It doesn't make sense. He takes things that are ma'akev, the abaminim, and he goes to show how things that are dependent on each other, without those you don't have esrog and lulav, you can't do the mitzvah. And he goes to two things that are very similar. One's done in the morning, one's done in the afternoon. They're not dependent. If you had to bring a different kind of carbon in the morning for a Talmud and a different kind of carbon in the afternoon for a Talmud, then you can say that they're connected and it's one mitzvah. But the fact that you use the same min for both, he's going like this, but
I think it's very clear. The Rambam is saying
he's using four things that are dependent to prove two things which are not dependent.
But what's your problem? I don't understand. What's the problem with the Rambam?
I don't understand how he learns from
no, so
the
Abaminim. No, here's the point of the Rambam. The Rambam is saying the following. The Rambam is saying is that any time we have a language in Chazal that says these things are ma'akev each other, you can't do the mitzvah without all the components, you know that it's one mitzvah. Correct. And then he says, but what happens in a case where the Mishnah says they are not ma'akev each other? They're not ma'akev each other. So the Ramban says, anytime, basically, you have the language of it not being ma'akev each other, you know they're different mitzvos. The Rambam says, not so fast. Is that even though they're not ma'akev each other, they could still really ideally be counted as one mitzvah because they're part of one framework.
Yeah, but that was no argument to begin with.
No, that is the argument.
No, but in the beginning that was an argument.
No, that was what the Ramban disputes.
Yeah,
the Ramban says it has to be two. The Rambam is saying it's still one because it's part of one conceptual framework.
Yeah, but that's what he said to begin with. We thought he'd come up with something.
No. The Rambam.
No,
he didn't say that to begin with. He says it in Shorash Yud Aleph.
Well, what was the difference between what he said originally?
No. The Rambam always said it's one mitzvah, but we just didn't know why. So the Rambam is telling you why.
A different definition.
No, he's telling us what the reason is that the Rambam has a huge chiddush, and the chiddush of the Rambam is that you have a right to count something as one mitzvah, even if they're not ma'akev each other. For example, Korban Tamid. If you didn't bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, you have every right to bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. So the Ramban says, how could you possibly count that as one mitzvah? So the Rambam says, well, it's true in a practical sense, they're not ma'akev each other, but since they're part of one singular theme, they have one function, which is to give coherence to the day in the Beis HaMikdash, that enables you, that gives you the right to count them as one mitzvah.
We considered that in the beginning.
But yeah, but we didn't have the Rambam himself.
Of course.
Correct. Based on the Gemara. The Gemara Menachos.
Yeah,
that everybody will agree. So the point really is that the Rambam has given us a totally new way of looking at mitzvos.
When we start the discussion, it's this versus this. But
that's what Igor.
But what does he say different at the end? That
What do you mean at the end?
That takes him off the ropes. So like you say, what does he say when he clarifies?
No, that's the Herschel. That's the whole point.
I don't get the chiddush.
Okay, so let me try.
That's the initial question.
No, let me try to explain it again. Is it one or two? So the Ramban says how many?
The Ramban?
Yeah.
Rambam says it's two.
And the Rambam says?
So it's one.
So the Rambam says, I don't understand. How could it be one mitzvah if they're not ma'akev each other? It's a really good question.
Okay, so he asked the question on the Rambam.
On the Rambam.
And the Rambam came back with the answer that even though they're not ma'akev, you can still... Now, what would you have thought...
Hold on 1 second. Finish your thought. Finish the sentence.
So then the Rambam says, even though they're not ma'akev, it's one.
How and where does the Rambam come up with that idea? That's a huge chiddush.
He comes up from the Arba Minim, which...
No, the Arba Minim... No, no. That's where you have it backwards. The Arba Minim in the other direction. The Arba Minim are ma'akev each other.
That's why you need it.
That's why those are one mitzvah, right. But the tzmidim are not ma'akev each other.
Are not. So why does he bring that?
That's the chiddush, that it's still one mitzvah. You see?
I understand. I just
you had it backwards. No. He's telling you a chiddush in Shurash Yid Aleph. That's the chiddush, is that why shouldn't it be two different mitzvos? That's the Ramban's question. Lulav, the Mishnah says they're ma'akev each other. You need all the component parts to do the mitzvah. So tmidim, where they're not ma'akev each other, where you could do one without the other, so they have to be two mitzvos.
Compared to tzitzit.
So how is the Rambam going to justify that it's one mitzvah?
And he says, why is it one mitzvah?
Because it's compared to tzitzit.
Why is it one mitzvah? That's the chiddush. It's because it's conceptually integrated. Is that even though...
Conceptually, but that's what you would have thought originally.
I don't know. That's so obvious. The Ramban didn't think so.
That's why it's a kasha. Otherwise, what's the kasha?
I really don't follow what... I don't...
Right away when you start the...
No, because I presented it that way, but it's a major chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam is the one who gave... Yeah, the Rambam... Okay, and Igor caught on to the idea.
But
philosophically speaking, this is an enormous chiddush. The Rambam is giving us a whole new way of looking at mitzvahs.
Rambam could not answer Rambam because he was dead before.
Right, it was such a big chiddush.
He couldn't go to Baal HaTov to answer Rambam.
Okay.
It's forbidden by Torah.
So the truth of the matter is, it's such a compelling idea.
Yeah.
It's such a compelling idea that there should be an integrated nature of the day. The question is it limited to the context of Mikdash? Don't we want some kind of an analog for our lives? I mean, obviously that's part of what we're mourning in the context of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. But let's take a look at the Sifrei. Remember, what happens just before the presentation of the Korban Tamid, we have a dialogue between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about succession of the Jewish people. And Moshe gives God like a command, very bold. He said, Yivkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar, Ishal Haida, Asher Yetzei Lifneihem, V'asher Yavo Lifneihem, V'asher Yotziem, V'asher Yivyem, V'lot Yadas Yisrael Katzon Asher Ein Lahem Ro'eh. So Moshe goes to Hashem and he says, you know, we need a new leader. So the Sifrei says as follows: "Vaydeber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Tzavis Bnei Yisrael V'yamarta Lehem Es Korban Ilach Mi Lishai." That immediately follows. Lamanemar Lefishu Omer Asher Yetei Lifnehem V'Asher Yavol Lifnehem Mashal Ma Davar Dome LeMelech Shehaisa Ishto Nifteres Mina Olam. So Moshe is the Isha in this case. Haisa Mafkedaso Al Baneha. So she's Moshe's leaving, and so she gives the king, right? Moshe gives Hashem a tzivui. Amrlo, right? The queen says to the king, the queen who's dying says to the king, Moshe says to Hashem, Bivakasha mimcha, hizahir li bivnai. Take care of the children. Take care of the Jewish people. So Amarla, she says, At sha'at mifakdatani al banai, pakdi es banai alai, shelo yimridu bi. Right? So Hashem turns around to Moshe and says, okay, well, fine. You know, you can ask me to take care of the children, but ask the children to take care of me. In other words, what's the function of Tzavis B'nai Yisrael? That's Hashem saying to Moshe, okay, fine, you can give me a command that I should continue to take care of the Jewish people after you're gone, Moshe. But Moshe, I'm going to give you one more command before you go, the departing queen, which is to Tzavis B'nai Alai. So here Korban Tamid is being presented as like an arch mitzvah, a way of making sure of shelo yimridu bi velo shein hagu bi minag bizayon. This Ma'amar Chazal points in the direction of the Korban Tamid having significance well beyond the four walls of the Beis HaMikdash and really creating a kind of loyalty framework, a day in and day out framework of service of God. This, of course, can be interpreted in one of two ways. Either there was something very specific that the Korban Tamid was counteracting. That's the approach that the Malbim takes. The Malbim comments, why does the Korban Tamid have to be Keneged HaShamesh? Why does it have to always be opposite the sun? The Malbim quotes from a Mamar Chazal, which I wasn't aware of before I read the Malbim, that the Korban Tamid is meant to counteract sun worshipping. So it's meant to keep the Jewish people loyal to God in a very specific sense. But the Ein Yaakov has a different interpretation. The Ein Yaakov quotes a phantom medrash, and nobody knows where this medrash is, talking about what's the most important pasuk in the Torah. So what do we know about that? The most important pasuk in the Torah, according to Rabbi Kiva, is Klal Gadol B'Torah is V'Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. According to Ben Azai, it is Shirushalmi Nedarim. According to Ben Azai, it is Zeh Sefer Toldos HaAdam. There's a Shimon ben Pazi who's quoted in the Hakdam of the Ein Yaakov who says, most important pasuk in the Torah is Sakeves Echad Taseh B'Boker V'Sakeves HaSheni Taseh Ben Harbayim. That would itself provide a kind of an explanation of this Sifrei. What does it mean? Ad Sha'ata Pakdani Al Banai Pikodes Banai Alai. Right? The Korban Tamid stands for so much more than something which is just a daily Korban in the Mikdash. It talks about, you know, building our whole lives around service of God in a consistent sense. That's undoubtedly what Ben Pazi has in mind in the Mamar Chazal, as it stands quoted in the Ein Yaakov, of the importance of consistency. Right, that the Korban Tamid is Hashem's message to Moshe, Pekodes Banai Alai, Shelo Yimredubi, Shelo Yamiru Es Kivodi, that they should be devoted to me. And devotion is always communicated through consistency. So this is the beginning of a process that we have of exporting the message of Tamid, of consistent service of God, well beyond the Mikdash itself. Take matters one step further. Bamidbar Rabba, V'yamarta lehem za isha asher takrivu l'Hashem, kivasi b'nei shana tmimim, lo shnei b'vas achas, el asakeves echad taseh b'boker, v'yasakeves hasheni taseh ben harbayim. What's the Havamina here? It's amazing Havamina. Lo shnehem bevas achas. So what's the Havamina? That you could have brought both at once? What does that demonstrate?
It's not connected to some moon. It's that it's, if you can bring both at once,
that it's one integrated theme. Yeah. What is that? That would be the strongest formulation for the Rambam. Mm-hmm. So of course you can't do that, right, for almost, you know, on temporal grounds, that asakeves echad taseh b'boker v'asakeves sheni sheni taseh ben arbayim. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Simon, me'olam lo heya adam b'Yerushalayim uv'yado avon. Ketzad, tam sheshachar mechaper al-aveir shebalayla, sheben arbayim mechaper al-aveir shenasu bayom. Mikomakom lalon adam b'Yerushalayim uv'yado avon. Nobody ever went to sleep in Yerushalayim with a sin on their ledger, so to speak, right? Because the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim took care of all the sins in the day. All the sins of night would be taken care of by the Tamid Shel Shachar. So again, you see, this statement of Chazal is exporting the consequence of Korban Tamid beyond the import of Korban Tamid beyond the four walls of the Mikdash. The Korban Tamid had significance in this Medrash for all of Yerushalayim. So previously we saw that, you know, Korban Tamid sort of is the archetypal Ad sha'ata pak, you know, mifakdani al banai, pekodes banai alai. It's the Ben Pazi's most important klal gadol b'Torah. Klal gadol mizeh, says Ben Pazi. And then Bamidbar Rabba says the impact is felt throughout Yerushalayim. Korban Tamid, again, frames the day in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the most, most basic.
And that actually makes sense then why the day of Mikdash is actually date shifted and starts in the day. Because this has a retroactive effect on what's happening.
Oh, that's really interesting. Think about that. So, now, by the way, just one more point to take us back to where we started. I started this year by noting there's an interesting relationship between Shviras Haluchos, the loss of what we experienced at Sinai, and Batel HaTamid, if you take the view of Rabbi Akiva, that Korban Tamid itself goes back to Mamad Har Sinai. But now you see a connection between Batel HaTamid and Huvka Ahair. How so? Because according to this medrash, the Korban Tamid provided kapara most directly for whom? So it was kapara for all the people of Yerushalayim. So Hovka Ahair was the piercing of Yerushalayim. In a certain sense, Batal HaTamid was a different kind of Hovka Ahair, the vulnerability of the city now of, to Avon. So again, it's a medrash, and I'm saying this more al pidrasha, but that's also a fascinating connection between Batal HaTamid and Hovka Ahair. It would be really cool if you were able to demonstrate a kind of a causal chain, you know. Shviras Haluchos is connected to Batal HaTamid for the reason that we said. Batal HaTamid is connected to Hufka Ha'ir for the reason that we said. Hufka Ha'ir is connected to Saraf Apis Tamis Es HaTorah. Saraf Apis Tamis Es HaTorah is Humat. It would be really cool if you could do a domino. So far we did the first three. Od Chazon Lamoed, if we'll be able to do numbers 4 and 5. Okay, in any event, what you see here is this idea that the Tamid has great significance outside of the walls of the Mikdash. It keeps the entire Jewish people focused on Avodas Hashem, Pekodes Banai Alai, Shelo Yimridu Bi, V'Shelo Yamiru Es Kavodi. It has impact on Yerushalayim. And again, this emerges from the Rishonim as well. Is the mitzvah of Tamid inherent on the... Does it inhere in the Kohanim? Is the chalos of the mitzvah on them? No, it's a chalos of the mitzvah on Klal Yisrael. The Kohanim are the ones who do the brunt of the labor, but the Yisraelim have to be represented in the Mikdash. Right, as Chazal say, Heichan Adam Makrivis Korbano Ve'enu Omed Alav, if you're not represented, that's why all the Jews have, what do we call them? Not Mishmaros. Mishmaros are for Kahuna, but what do we call Ma'amados? Excellent, Binyam. So this notion of Tamid serving as a kind of tool, a one integrated entity, it's one mitzvah for the Rambam that gives internal coherence to the day in the Mikdash, but its impact is felt well beyond the Mikdash, in the city of Yerushalayim, throughout all of Klal Yisrael. This idea is so compelling of giving a day, giving all of our days a kind of internal coherence, a solid footing and framework, that we'd want to see it well beyond the framework of the Korban itself. And in fact, we do this, I think, in two different ways. The first is famous, in the Gemara in Brachos. Tanya Kavasti Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Mipnei ma'amru tfilas ha-shachar ad chatzos, sharei tamid shel shachar kari v'holeich ad chatzos. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad arba shaos, sharei tamid shel shachar kari v'holeich ad arba shaos. Mipnei ma'amru tfilas ha-mincha ad ha-erev, sharei tamid shel bein arbaim kari v'holeich ad ha-erev. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad plag ha-mincha, sharei tamid shel bein arbaim kari v'holeich ad plag ha-mincha. What is this Gemara saying? So vital. Isn't it an accident that we just happened to base, when Chazal came along and gave us Shacharis and Mincha, again, without getting into discussion of Tfilos Avos Tiknum versus Tfilos Keneged Tmidim Tiknum, I mean, what's the conceptual foundation of this idea? What right have we to take a Mikdash idea of Korban Tamid and export it to Tfila? Which is, of course, not limited to the Mikdash. It's Nochach HaMikdash. It's nochach l'makom shchina. There's a lot of interrelationship between tefillah and mikdash. Ki beis beis tefillah yikari l'chol ha'amim, but it obviously transcends mikdash. Okay, it's true. The root of tefillah is from avoda la'avdo. Ezo yavoda shabalev aviyomer so tefillah. Avdehu b'tefillaso avdehu b'mikdash. This is the Rambam in mitzvah sasei halacha mitzvah sasei hey. But what did Chazal understand to base tefillah on tamid? It frames our day. Just what Tamid does for the Mikdash is what Tefillah does for us. You can define all of the experiences that we should define, the experience that we have during the day, using, right, these kinds of religious tools. Shachar and Mincha, Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. It gives whatever happens in between a sense of integration. Because if it's just one thing after the next with no way of bringing it together, then it's jumbled. And that's what tefillah does for our entire day. But it's not just tefillah. What else is it? And Steve, I think you mentioned this before, and it was implicit in the Ramban as well. What else do we have that frames our day? Exactly. And the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah also. Because what is Shema? It's the most basic statement of Jewish, right? What are our principles? So it makes a whole lot of sense. If you were designing, right? If you're designing a group, right? Doesn't it sort of make a lot of sense to have a mission statement at the beginning of the day and the end of the day? I mean, that's what Shema is. It's a mission statement. So Where does our mission statement start? There is a God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So there's one God who's in control of everything. And where does it go from there? That we have a certain kind of relationship with that God. First, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. We have this kind of intimate relationship with God. That's a big part of our mission statement. Then we move from there to discuss V'hayayim Shema'a, meaning the relationship means that we're bound to certain contractual terms. And then V'yomer Shema Moshe Le'mor, right, the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that God delivered us as a people. And Tzitzis, Laman Tizkuros Kol Mitzvos Hashem, to come back to where we started, Tcheles and Lavan, right, that's part of our mission statement, that we always have to remember to study the Torah and to keep. So it makes a lot of sense that we want to frame our day, everything that we have to do in between, because we are put in a temporal existence, right? You have to do business. You have to, you know, go to the grocery store. All these things. But we want to frame that in the context of our broader mission, which is communicated through a Kriya Shema. So the idea and the ideals of Tamid, of creating a coherent conceptual framework to religious activity, is felt well beyond the Mikdash. On a De'oraisa level, you have it with Kriya Shema as well. And on the Durabanan level, when Chazal were looking to institute Tefillah because they saw it as a necessity, right, what did they borrow? This idea of Tamid, of framework. So it's just so important to see halacha not as random things, but you see it's a coherent thought system. And Judaism has a very strongly held, passionate argument that it makes about creating units, taking the day as a unit. You see it in the Beis HaMikdash, you see it with Kriya Shema, you see it rabbinically, when the question of tefillah came along. In the Rambam, especially by counting it as one mitzvah, really picks up on this theme, because he wants to integrate. And he says, yeah, Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, in the practical sense, are not going to prevent each other from being done. Just like Kriya Shema won't. But does that mean that they're not operating as a part of the same framework? Absolutely not. Certainly they are part of the same framework. It's a very, very foundational idea in the Rambam. Okay, so we'll hold it up there. We'll pick it up next week.